Hello, Theater Forks. Welcome back to our newest pod episode. I am your co-host, Amy Driscoll.
And I'm Diana Shabai-Booker.
And we are the Theater Forks. Today is a really special episode because not only do we have guest star Chris Berg, we also have his two dogs, Nessie and Olive, with us today. So during the pod, don't be alarmed if you hear little puppy toes or some lighthearted growling. It's all just part of the ambiance today.
I would love, if you're listening to this and you have dogs that are reacting to the dogs on the podcast, I would like nothing more than to see video of that. So if that happens, please share it with us, because that would make my whole life better.
That would be the best.
Yeah.
Ideal situation.
Yeah. Oh,
here they come.
Girls.
You're both wild. Pretty.
They're getting into it.
Yeah.
That's why they couldn't get to come to rehearsal for this show.
This is the best podcast we've ever done.
Yeah. So welcome, hi. Chris.
Hey, hello.
Hi, hello. Chris is the latest director at the Fire Hall Theater for Greater Grand Forks Community Theater. He is directing David Lindsay Abaire's Ripcord, set to open
March 24th.
March 24th and running through April 3rd. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thanks. Welcome. Happy to be here.
Yay. So let's talk about sort of your theater journey, as we like to call it.
My theater journey.
Yeah. So sort of what, if you remember, what was sort of the first show you saw or you did that like sort of made you get into theater?
I think the first show I did, I was trying to think of this. I think it was Oliver.
Okay.
I was a wee little orphan. Or Cheaper by the Dozen, the play version.
I didn't know there was a play version.
Yes. So it's like this like 1900s play.
Oh.
And it's funny because Gina Euler also did that play in high school.
Yeah.
I played Dan and I got to bring my dog on stage. They had given me a giant Dalmatian to be my fake dog. This was like one of those like big, like you win at the like fair.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Dalmatians. And I was like, you know, I have a dog and she's very nice. So she got to be in it as well. So
that's my
Oliver and Cheaper by the Dozen. I've gotten like so old I don't know anymore.
So I was really hoping that in Oliver you maybe played the Bowl of Porridge, but
no, I did not. the cast was so like there were so many kids and we were only in like two things.
Mm-hmm.
I was only in Consider Yourself, and then like one other thing. Even though there's like five songs,
right?
And then Food Glorious Food. I think everybody got to be in Food Glorious Food. It was great because, like, we were all, like, little kids, but, like, Oliver was, like, a ninth grader, so he was, like a foot taller than all of us.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, the oldest orphan.
It's like that, you know, the production of Legally Blonde that's, like, junior high school, but then yes. Elle is, like, clearly somebody's yes. older sister. That's my favorite video of all time. So what sort of led you to where you are now?
Here at the Fire Hall?
Yes, in the Fire Hall, in this moment with us. High school, in college.
Yes. Mm. So once I did it, I mean, I was bitten. Right. I stayed doing shows for Fs. I did, and that was in Jamestown. I lived in Jamestown for a while, okay. And then I transferred 10th grade and came here and did theater at Red River and then Spa and then did NDSU, and then I started directing when I, like, quit getting cast. You know, it's like, what am I supposed... Wait, there's something to do outside of acting and shows? So then I directed, and then I've been directing since forever. Like, at some point, I was in the 30s for shows, and I don't even, like, know.
Yeah.
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 That's wild.
Yeah.
Like, lost count.
So your last stage performance was that in Noises Off.
Noises Off at UND, yeah. And prior to that, I think it was Chiclet here at the Fire Hall.
At Recycle Beach Party.
That was like in the early aughts.
That was the summer of 10, because it was the same summer as Rent, right?
Yes.
Or no.
Yes. No.
No.
Yes,
summer
it was.
11.
Was
summer
it?
11.
Is that
yep,
Rent?
Yep, because 10 was producers.
Okay.
11 was the following.
Okay.
Yes. We're still finding sand. From Psycho Beach.
Listen,
Party.
I did not.
In this
I did not ask for sand.
Bed clip full.
But my feet. Abby Schoenberg and I were like, remember when our feet were so soft and.
Because you just were in the sand.
We were walking on
yeah.
sand all day.
All day.
I was someone talking about you saw Once on This Island with Live Sand.
I did.
And they toured it.
Yeah.
How do you tour with sand?
Right?
I was like, how
and a rake.
Yeah.
It was raked. It's crazy. Yeah, I was so impressed.
How that was approved, I don't understand.
I don't know. They brought sand to ACTF. It was a wild time.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Maybe it was just a little bit.
Maybe. I feel like there was sand in that. There was absolutely a rake, though, and I feel like that's a dangerous pastime to have a rake stage and sand on it.
Yeah. I had a, like, pretty active musical, like, within the sound.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a choice for sure.
So, what is your favorite show that you've directed?
That I've directed? Mm-hmm. I have many, I think.
Or they just all. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
I loved The Flick. Mm. The Flick was a blast. Just a long play about working in a movie theater. I also love Next to Normal. That was just a treat to work with that group of people and to do that show. That was a show that, like, I had not been, like, obsessed with when it came out. I just, like, in passingly liked it.
Uh-huh.
But then as I, like, listened, like, was, like, doing it, I, like, really got more into it than I was before. Red. I loved Red. One of our, like, first... I mean, I have a special heart for, like, the first show I directed, To Me in the Shallows, ever.
Yeah.
Like, a student project that I did with friends at NDSU. And then I did Trailer Park here. Shortly thereafter, that was my first musical I directed was here. And that was a blast as well.
We're going to absolutely pull some of those photos out of the archive because
great.
Have pictures of myself coming to the late night performance.
Oh, were you dressed? Were you dressed up?
I sure was dressed up.
Got that cheaper ticket?
Yeah, I sure did.
What about shows that you just like watching or listening to? Like favorite?
I'm going to just go with what I'm listening to currently. I'm on the, like, 70s kick.
Yes.
Because, like, everything was so, like, raw and they were going so hard on those cast recordings.
Yep.
So, like, Company.
Phone rings, door chimes, in comes Company. No strings, good times, just chums, Company.
A chorus line, pearly.
I got love. I got love. I got love. I got love, 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 love. I got love. I got love. Sweeter than a flower, growing by the hour. I got love. Sunshine, shine.
The Wiz.
Yes.
Evita falls into that, the original with Patty. Mm,
of course.
Not the, like, recording, or the studio.
There's only one.
Yeah, with Patty and Mandy. Like, they don't go hard anymore. Like, people always, oh god, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, the 70s are just such an interesting time for musicals, so we're still sort of coming out of the golden age in the 60s, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, we're just going to do this weird chrome set, and Company doesn't really have a linear plot, and it's like, whatever, but then just this huge explosion of stuff that doesn't fall into the golden age formula. Yeah.
Like, Corleone is a documentary.
Yeah.
Like, musical.
Yeah.
It was, like, so popular, and it ran forever. And, like, no one's ever done that again. Like, I was, like, trying to remember, like, is there another, like, docu-musical about theater?
No. I don't know. Nothing to the same caliber. Is
and horrible. Those people were in that show.
Right. Yeah.
That blows my mind. I just bought that On the Line book, the like about the making of Chorus Line.
Oh, okay.
Just because I was like, I haven't read this.
Have you watched the documentary?
The about the revival? Yes.
Is it Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
I think I like Netflixed it before probably. When you could only get discs.
The golden age.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, I was watching that recently and they're like showing cards of people they're rejecting and Andy Blankenbuehler is one of the people they rejected. And it's like, that's so funny because then he went on to be, you know,
this huge choreographer.
Who he is now. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, Chorus Line is insane. Like, I also did not appreciate that in school. I like when we did it, I was like, did not audition because I was like, I'm not a dancer. So I did lights and I like Ooh. Grew to be it. I was like into the music. It's also right. a one act. So I'm
yes.
love that 90 minutes.
Yeah, yes, in yes, and out. The Chris Berg timeline.
Yeah, when I worked at the WSO, they had to like make it two acts because they wanted to sell.
They wanted to sell permission. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think they did like other Hamlish music in the beginning and then they
oh,
did.
No.
Yeah, and then it was a Chorus Line for the second act.
I feel like I've seen it. A couple of times, and I think people kind of tend to put in an intermission just because you can.
I feel like there was an intermission in the UND production.
I think there was.
Yeah.
I think so. And I feel like there might have been one at NDSU's as well, but I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. You want to put an intermission? Put it in.
Yeah. Right.
Do it.
I love a 90-minute show, though. One of my last things I saw in Winnipeg before I moved was Come From Away, which also doesn't have an intermission.
Yes.
90 minutes, and the show is so smart because... So you do Welcome to the Rock and you clap and then you don't clap again until the end of the show.
That's nice.
And you're just like, even after Me in the Sky, which is like another biggest song from that yeah. show, she picks up the phone and the song and the story keeps going. So good. You're just bursting with
I love emotion. When they like do that stuff and you like don't know that they like intentionally don't have like applause breaks. They like don't want you to clap at stuff, so they just right. like keep it going.
It just keeps going. Yeah. Yeah, it's so good.
I was trying to think of like shows that I had like seen, and I don't really we didn't really get tours here when we were younger, right? Uh-huh. Or my parents didn't take me to them that I can think of.
I mean, I think
I went to like Sesame Street Live at the Fritz.
Yeah,
I remember that.
But... we talked about my Jungle Book experience at the Fritz. That was a time.
I bet it was. I don't remember, like, Broadway coming like it did, has recently.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel like when I was in college in the theater department at UND, we took a tour of the Fritz. And they are, you know, a popular Broadway roadhouse because they're big enough.
Yeah.
But I don't... And then you look at all of the, like, pictures on the walls of the Fritz, and you're like, all these people came here.
Yeah.
But why don't I remember hearing about it?
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I feel like there's been a lot... of opportunity that I just didn't know existed.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to see shows when I like got to go to New York and start that yes. journey right. of like stacking those playbills, you know.
Yes.
But
you've kind of lucked out and seen some of the big shows before they were big shows in the city, haven't you?
I saw Hamilton.
Yeah.
Like in October. They had like transferred, and I had had like been like sniffing because I was like I loved In the Heights.
Uh-huh.
It was amazing. I saw an amazing production in Minneapolis of it that was so good. I'm so jazzed for that movie.
I am so excited.
They're like it's coming out a week earlier, and I was like, oh, just a week earlier.
Neat.
Still a year late.
Right.
Still a year late. Yeah, I saw Hamilton. What else have I seen? I got to see The Flick. That was incredible. I saw Philip Seymour Hoffman in Death of a Salesman.
Oh, wow.
And Andrew Garfield. And I can't remember his name. Is the other boy from American Horror Story? Finn Wittrock.
Oh.
Was Happy. And Linda Emmond was...
What a stack.
Mrs. Yeah, I mean, Mike incredible. Nichols directed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm glad I got to see that. Lots of stuff. I saw Peters in Gypsy.
At all the places I gotta play, all the things that I gotta be. Yeah, come on, Papa, what do you say? Some people can be content playing bingo and paying rent. That's peachy for some people, for some humdrum people to be. But some people ain't me.
My like high school trip to New York, I got to see Bernadette.
Wow.
And Gypsy. She was incredible.
I really appreciate that your high school took you to Gypsy and not
to
Wicked.
I went with my aunt.
Okay, I was like...
It was for graduating. She took me to New York, so we saw some shows.
Oh, okay. I was like, you said Gypsy,
the producers. Yeah, no, I would have been forced to go see Wicked, which I've never seen, and I actually really want to see Wicked.
I would like to see Wicked, too. I've never seen it. I do like it. I like it a lot, but I feel like there's so many more things than Wicked and The Lion King.
That's just the thing. It's like, Wicked will
always be there. It's like a staple. Yeah, it's like some of these you don't know.
It's like Phantom. It's like, do you need to go see Phantom? No. If everything else is sold out and you have 20 extra dollars, go see Phantom. Right. But like, I saw Wicked on tour, which I'm sure is the same.
Yes, just as great.
But yeah, it's fine. It's different if you're like a 15-year-old girl.
Right, yeah. And like if you're like in the height of like just learning about Broadway shows. And
just learning about like being an independent woman. And
the first thing you see is Wicked. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh,
she can't make the jump.
Can't jump up that way, baby.
Can't get
use the stairs. Okay. There we go.
We tried to do the lottery for Wicked when it was like so popular. Uh-huh. And we did Spelling Bee instead because we couldn't get in. So I think I got to see half of the original and then half of some replacements.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember if I saw Josh Gad as Barfy, because I think he was after the guy who won the Tony.
I bet he was hilarious.
I think so.
Hilarious? Yeah. There's no
whoever it was is great. That show was so fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Also, 90 minutes.
In and out.
In and out!
Yeah.
The Chris Berg clip.
Love it.
So you're the founding artistic director of the Empire Theater Company.
Correct.
So what was it like doing that?
It was a lot of work. I'll tell the initial story. So I went to a New Year's Eve party at Lisa Unkenholz's house, and it was going to be like just like a small gathering, mm-hmm. and then everyone else canceled, so it was just me and Lisa.
What a beautiful time.
And
what
she made, it was just like me, Bianca, and Lisa. So I don't think it was like this like raucous party. Uh-huh. But she made like salmon or something that I'd never had. And we were like eating that. And she was like, you should start a theater company at the Empire. And I was like, no one wants that. No one wants to see that. And she's like, just write a proposal and see what happens. And so I did. And then the rest is history.
And wow. Here we are.
And here we are. So I did 8 seasons.
Your first season was 12, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the pandemic makes me forget that there were like 7.5.
Yeah. Right.
Seasons. But like 2012 to 2012, that's 8 years.
Yeah.
So anyway, since 2012.
Wow.
From Xanadu to whatever we ended with, Elf? No, Mors.
Mors. The Mors.
Just a lot of directing and bringing new and exciting theater to Grand Forks.
Yeah.
Which is something that I wanted to do. And when I was at the Fire Hall, you know, people didn't always appreciate
some new of and
the,
exciting.
The weird and quirky things were a little too much for people. So we did that at ETC.
Yeah.
And people grew to like it.
Well, exactly. And it's just such an opportunity for actors and techs and people to get paid for their work. Like, I'm sure it's a lot of people's first theater paycheck.
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
One of my favorite things is when we were doing Disney's Beauty and the Beast, people would call and be like, can I bring my kids to this? Because it was like, well, they don't always do appropriate stuff.
Yeah.
But I was like, how do we make that dirty?
Right. It's Disney.
It's Disney.
Yeah. We are under severe contract.
We're under severe contract. But that was my favorite, was the, can we bring kids to this? But yeah, I've just did that for many, many years. And it's very tiring.
Yeah.
No doubt. Because you did, Lee, you directed most of the shows in every season. Yeah.
Yes. Because I would like find shows that I loved and then be like, cool, now does anyone else want to do this? And be like, nope. And I'd be like, okay.
It's me.
It's me. We also would play with how many shows we would do.
Right.
6 one year was the most insane thing we ever did. In season 6, we did 6 shows.
Wow.
And that was like, okay. And then season 7, we just did 4. Right. It was like a very abrupt, let's take it back. We were all burnt out.
Pretty much.
But yeah, and then when I started, they also had just hired Emily Montgomery. So like, I was coming in new, she was coming in new, and it was just this great, wonderful collab we got to have.
Totally.
You built it together.
Yeah.
Did you always intend to set out to do like a professional theater company? So like with a paying your actors?
Yeah, that was always kind of our thing to like at one point get to that point. That was kind of, I think, one of the board's discussions too. Someone on the board was like, we should pay everybody. You know, that would be like a nice thing. And
yeah,
Crimson did that
yeah.
when I did stuff as well with them. So, and that I know people always appreciated that.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, we should just do that all year, other than not just summer.
Not just summer stack. Yeah.
You know, all the time. And, you know, just wanting to try to bring some theater to this community.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you did. I mean, it was just such a, it was such a cool experience. And I think you and Emily and Mackenzie, while she was there, worked so hard to make interesting spaces and new experiences in the whole building.
Yeah. The black box space was super cool.
Yeah. And the backstage project and the 1919 lounge. And I mean, and then last summer we went outside in the alley. I mean, you know, I just think you worked so, you squeezed every drop of opportunity out of the Empire. I think the only thing you didn't do was something upstairs in the
offices. Yeah.
I thought you were going
to say on the roof. Office place.
We did, because when we did the flick, the audience was on stage and the show was in the theater.
Right.
Because it has the projection booth and all of that stuff like a theater house would. Yeah. So it was great.
That's all. And I think my biggest regret is that I was always in production here at the Fire Hall.
I know.
When you were in production there at the Empire, and I missed like probably 3/4 of the shows because I was also in shows.
In shows or doing shows or...
Mm-hmm.
Tis the life, though. Know, we that's... tried sometimes to be like,
yep.
Can we come to this rehearsal? Yeah, okay, cool, great.
You know, come in there. You got to imagine it, though. It's really
just nifty
in costumes. like, the walls are half built and there's still some
not
books
quite,
on stage.
We're not quite there yet, but it's there.
But you'll get the picture.
Should we talk about Ripcord?
Yes.
So you're back at the Fire Hall.
Back.
After a long absence.
Druid was my last Fire Hall show.
What was that?
What year was that, Amy? Impossible. That
is factually true.
That's the spring of 11. I'm the dates gal, apparently.
Yeah. Some people are dates people, which Amy was in.
Uh-huh.
Dirtles.
The stone mason, the brick mason, right?
She just got to be a luscious alcoholic.
I was just like, I have never, my breasts have never been so perky as they were in that show.
I mean, how many corsets did you have?
I had one corset, but it was like cinched to heaven. And then Danny Walstead, love our girl Daniel, put chicken cutlets, which for the general public is like a fake silicone implant
that look like chicken
that looks like chicken cutlets. That's why it's called as such, that you put under. The trick to wearing corsets, I learned this at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, is that you like lace it up as tight as you think you can, and then you bend over and you pull your bosom from your armpits like in and up, and then you tighten her up again, and then
There they are.
Wow. Locked and ready. I did, in that production, have one very concerned gentleman in the audience. He was probably about 78 years old.
Great.
And he was really worried that I was just going to pop out of my corset.
Oh. Love it when the old men are concerned about your
really
breasts.
Worried about a nip slip. But don't worry.
You didn't have any.
I never had any.
The show was good.
Locked and loaded.
But yeah, so I've been back since then.
Yeah, because you were supposed to come back for Cabaret.
Yes, the pandemic said no.
No.
Yeah, not today.
On pause, please.
Yeah. But we're so happy to have you back for this. It's such a fun show. I had the privilege of stage managing it. So we had another show scheduled, but then they said, no, we don't want this to be streamed. So... we all sort of had to scramble to pick this show. Is there, like, a reason this show stood out to you?
I'm a big fan of David Lindsay Abaire. I've read, I think, probably all of his work. And then I've gotten to do two of his shows. I did Wonder of the World at the Empire. And then Kimberly Akimbo I did here at the Fire Hall, which was a blast.
I didn't realize that he wrote that show.
Yes.
I loved that show. That
Me
was so good.
Too. A great cast. So much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had the right people for it. Yeah. It's like funny. It's great.
Yeah. Translated really well to the stage too.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Tell us about Ripcord. Chris, what can audiences expect from Ripcord?
Ripcord is about these two older women who are in a assisted living facility.
I would say it's like an independent living.
Yeah, it's like the housing
community. They're roommates, though, you know?
It's like a Good Sam here, I guess, for listeners in Forks. the Good Samaritan has like the apartment side and then the nursing home side. So I feel like it's like the apartment side of like an elderly care facility.
Right. It's like, yeah, they don't have to cook and their medication is brought to them, but they're not.
But it's like
living, they're not in a hospital bed or anything. Yeah.
So these two ladies who are living in where we just talked about, and one of them is a little bit crabbier than the other, and she wants the other one out. And so the other one makes a bet. They make a bet that if one can scare the other, she'll leave. But it... No, wait. I just flipped the... Okay. I'm going to say their names. It's Abby and Marilyn.
Yeah.
If Abby makes Marilyn mad, she has to leave the room.
Marilyn has to leave the room.
Correct. Yeah. And if Marilyn makes Abby scared, she gets the bed by the window and she stays.
Yeah.
So, and so it's about their like bet on.
Yeah, so they're all they're trying to one up each other throughout the whole show.
With crazy hijinks and stuff like that, and they get a lot of people involved, and it's a fun time.
It's good.
There's also like some drama. Because David Lindsay Abair has won the Pulitzer for Rabbit Hole, which is a very serious, not silly play at all.
Uh-huh.
As well as Good People, which did not win the Pulitzer, but is very good about...
Yeah, we did that at the Fire Hall. Yes. Kathy King directed Kathy Coyle King directed that.
Another great play, which has a little bit more mix of humor and...
Yeah.
Coming with Those Bingo Ladies are
a
scream.
Gosh.
But, and I just... That was kind of the last one left of his that we haven't done that is new. So you're not going to step into some landmines of, well, this is not great anymore. This hasn't aged well.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
So I was like, why not? Yeah. We need a laugh.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what it will be.
Yeah, it is. It's very silly. I mean, there are some of the pranks go a little dark.
Very dark.
But they are over quickly, and then you know it's a good fun. Like, the characters' reactions to them, it's all... I mean, there's still, like, humor mixed in. And I think the actors that are in the show did, like, a beautiful job.
Yeah, they're fabulous.
Of, like, humanizing these characters and making them so three-dimensional. And I... want to give a specific, special shout-out to Amy Listie as Lewis.
Yes.
Because if you don't know Amy Listie, you would never know that
she won't know her in the show. Oh.
Did a full transformation.
Honestly.
Yeah. You can even tell she's in the show because the clown
she's fully masked.
And
Lewis, the flight instructor, let me tell you guys, the Lewis, the flight instructor is worth the $18 ticket price.
Totally.
I'm just telling you. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just so good.
And out of our 7 cast members, we have 4 people making their regular season GGFCT debut, which is... so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
We're so happy to expand our artist pool, and they're all amazing and working for free.
Right. And worth so much more than that.
Yeah.
I always think that
they love it.
Yeah.
They love to act.
And in this year, when everything else was sort of shut down and taken away, I think people who would normally not work for free were ready to bring that back into their lives. Because as much as you enjoy performing for others, we do this for ourselves, for our souls.
Right.
Right.
You know? And so it was a much needed continuance of normalcy.
Yeah.
This year, for sure. Yeah. So.
Check it out.
Yes.
Don't miss it. We are, this will be a streaming production, in case we didn't work very specific
on
that.
Yes, online only.
Online only. We're streaming through the platform ShowTix4U again, like we did with Steel Magnolias. But this time, Diana threw together a very easy to follow troubleshooting guide.
Yeah, we know some people who are having some difficulty with it. But ShowTix4U does have great customer service, and they're really good about, oh, your code doesn't work, here's another code or something. Mm-hmm. So. If you have difficulty, we'll let us know and we can shoot you the troubleshooting guide and get it figured out. We will make sure you can watch this show for sure.
It is not to be missed. It is very well done. And this was a new experience for me in my interim executive director position. I've not had the chance to just be like producer. Yeah, I wasn't involved in the show at all. Was like, well, send me your prop list, guys. I have my iPad you can use. I have some of your plugs. I just left them on the couch. If you don't want to use them, it's fine. I just brought them. So if I maybe leave my shoe here, they'll ask me back. I never was worried about it because you guys were so capable and I had no qualms about the, it was just a very new experience to be like, what? Can I get you anything? Yeah. Or, you know, like,
it's nice though when you like have it all, like it's all set up and you just like ready to go.
Yep.
Like it's supposed to go.
Yeah, it just goes like it should, you know.
You're not having to like paint the night before or like take on a part because somebody fell downstairs or something.
Right.
The dogs have yet to be in a show.
Yeah. Soon.
I don't know.
I feel like if Nessie was around for Legally Blonde, she could have been.
I don't know. She's not really either of those dogs. No offense, Nessie.
That's not really her type.
It's not her type.
She could have absolutely been the dog, Sandy, in Curious Incident.
Totally.
Buxton was beautiful.
Is it supposed to be a puppy, though?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a baby. I mean, Buxton wasn't a puppy either.
No.
He's a plus size boy.
Right. And we love Buxton. He was so good in Legally
Blonde. Oh my god, he was
Oh man, he almost flew off the stage a couple of times, so he just wanted to be with
him. But it is like a puppy, like a...
Yeah, it's
like
supposed to be a baby.
Yeah. But it works, though.
I mean, I think just like watching Walter crumble to pieces over a dog every night on stage was, I don't care how old that dog is, it was perfect.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was really good. So, maybe next season we'll just have to do... Let's do Annie.
I love it.
And Nessie can be Sam.
Annie is another 70s show where they go so hard on that cast recording. They are just all to the wall.
Everything around me is little. If I ring little necks, surely I will get an acquittal. Some women are dripping with diamonds. Dripping with pearls. Lucky me, lucky me. Look at what I'm dripping with. Little girl.
I listened to Annie the other day and I was, because I wanted to like listen to like a couple songs. I was in Annie at the fire hall.
You were Rooster.
I was Rooster.
Of course. So
which was perfect. I think my first solo musical role that I'd ever had.
Uh-huh.
I usually was like the character non-singing parts.
Mm-hmm. You were in The Wiz, weren't you? Yes. Chris Star.
Yes, I was.
Chris Star Stoner loves to talk about the All White production of The Wiz.
I was in the All White production of The Wiz. Yes, I was. I was a flower.
Of course you were a flower. I don't know why I thought you were the Tin Man.
Oh my god, no, I do not have that range. That is not me. That is not for me.
In my head, you were the Tin Man, but it absolutely...
I mean, when you're thinking of like white people to be in a white version of The Wiz, I should be in that show.
You should definitely be.
But I was not in that. Even the dog was white. Yeah. That was like the tagline on our poster.
Yeah. Even the dog is white.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But The Wiz is a great show. And it is. Should be revived on Broadway. Let's talk about why there's no Wiz revival.
After The Wiz Live.
Me too.
Which was very good. Mm-hmm. They thought they were going to bring it back.
I think it's the best live. Yeah. The Wiz was the best live.
Yes. Totally agree. So good.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first one? Why am I blanking? What?
Sound of Music.
That's right. Carrie Underwood.
That's right. How could I
hate it? Followed by Peter Pan starring Christopher Walken.
And...
Allison Williams.
Allison Williams. Yeah. I was like, the girls from Girls.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Wild. I think that I just need to have different expectations when I watch shows about like live productions of musicals or like
on TV.
Yeah.
Grease was really good.
Good.
The Wiz and Grease were the best.
I
like
the Jesus Christ Superstar too with John Legend.
Oh yeah, that was also
I really like Brandon Victor Dixon. I saw him as Burr in Hamilton. Ooh. Yeah. He was really good. Norm Lewis was in it as Sisyphus, I want to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Sarah Bareilles.
Sarah Bareilles was in it. Yeah.
She was in it. But I forget that I'm watching a film. You know, like, that's why, like, when we started filming productions, I was like, no, I want it wide angle, like you're watching a show.
Right.
You know, like, in Sound of Music, it was just like watching a soap opera.
Right.
Because it was, like, an HD live cam where it was just Maria. But, the beauty of Sound of Music is the, like, wide open, big whole stage scenes.
Right.
You know, and so that, I think, was really hard for me. But, like... Even when I watched, the first time I watched Pitch Perfect, you know, and it's about an a cappella, like college a cappella singing competitions, but it's totally all auto-tuned. I was like, this is stupid. Why am I even watching this? And then, like, when you tell yourself, I mean, it's a Hollywood movie, and then you can enjoy it for what it is. Yeah. But I am weird about that. Like, if you tell me you're going to be a cappella, do it.
Yeah. I mean, there are elements of a Sound of Music Live that are, like... Audra as Mother Abbess climbing around. Come on. Laura Benanti and Christian Borle are in it. Like, you could pick stuff out of it, but it's like, okay.
The style.
Like,
I guess,
these fake tiny hills and, like, this 3-foot space that's supposed to be, like,
the
Austria.
Soundstage. Yeah.
Okay.
And I feel like Carrie Underwood got a lot of flack for that role.
She did. She got a lot of,
But I thought she did fine. You know, I mean, you could tell that she was kind of out of her element and it wasn't something she normally does.
Yeah.
But it's not her fault that she was cast and not somebody else. You know, it's not like she stole it.
Right, right.
She was cast.
And it brought people in probably that wouldn't otherwise watch it.
Well, that's the whole thing about these TV musicals. If you have to have somebody in it that
people will watch.
Not theater people,
have some star power, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember when we almost got a J-Lo Bye Bye Birdie? Remember when that almost happened?
Oh, that's right.
That was announced and then it like went away.
Oh, that's right. Who was supposed to be opposite her?
I don't think they... I think all they said was J-Lo in Bye Bye Birdie. Which we really missed out on.
But we got the Matthew Morrison Grinch this year.
I forgot. I was like,
I didn't even make it all the way through.
I did not. I missed it.
Oh, it's so bad.
I missed it.
Yeah. It was not good.
No. Trigger warning for Matthew Morrison. Just weird. That's the thing on TikTok now. But if someone's like, tell me a cringy moment, and then someone puts like a weird thing from Glee, people are like, you should have put a trigger warning for Matthew Morrison in there.
Glee.
Yeah. What a time. I never got into that show either. That's a show that everyone's like, oh my gosh, you need to watch Glee.
I totally did all of Glee.
I know. I feel like it's like you either love it or you hate it, and I just never got into it.
Now watching it, it's like just your eyes.
It's hard.
On fire. It's. I had a friend had is the active word here.
Uh-oh.
Who was so into Glee because she thought she was Rachel Berry, and she did not realize that Rachel Berry is like the villain in this show. She is so terrible, and just like I could not stand it. What is everybody watching/listening to/reading right now?
I am rewatching The West Wing.
Oh,
I find that when I am quite busy, so I've got this, and then I'm also directing at a local high school. So I'm busy, so it's nice to just have some people in suits talking talks, which is fun.
Some rational, capable people who always...
Yeah. Who always know what's going on. And Allison Janney's there, and Martin Sheen is there, and Bradley Whitford. It's just everyone is there.
Perfect.
It's nice, and their guest stars are all theater actors.
Yep.
It's a nice time. And then I dropped my OC watch... midway, and so I've picked that back up.
Nice.
Because it is a hit, and my friend is watching it for the first time. And so she'll text me and just be like, things about the show that are great, because it is an incredible show that everyone should
see. OC is so good. So good. Every time someone I know watches it for the first time, they're like, really? The OC?
Yes, incredible. The OC.
It's incredible.
I should probably try it then.
Yes.
I've never.
Girl,
if you like Gossip Girl, you'll love the OC.
I didn't
it's
watch
the
Gossip
same
Girl
people.
Either, but I will try.
So good. It's only like 3.5 seasons long.
Writer's
Strike.
They're
like 20-minute episodes, right?
No,
like
they're an hour.
They're full hour.
But they are burning through plot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will never
lots of teen drama.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, I love a teen drama.
There's not a party that goes unruined.
Oh.
There's not a party that goes unruined.
So don't even get your hopes up.
I know. And then I just, I spoke to my 70s musical love now. And then I got into comics over the pandemic.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
What are some of your faves?
I'm reading on the apps, so like the Marvel and DC apps you pay just like a monthly fee for, because comic books are expensive.
Yes.
And you're going to cry right now, I know. So reading of that, Grant Morrison is an amazing comic writer. Mm-hmm. He did a great run on X-Men. He's got some fun Batman stuff. I love it all. Our friend Darren Kerr is also into comics and gave me a nice, lovely list of things that I need to be reading, and it's great. Having the time of my life.
That's one. I feel like if anyone ever needed a book recommendation, the first person you should ask is Darren Kerr.
Darren.
It's the best.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. I started watching this last year, but then as everything I put the pandemic, I dropped it. But I picked it up again this weekend. I'm watching Taste the Nation with Padma Lakshmi on Hulu.
Okay.
She like travels around the country and tries like different immigrant food, basically. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What show is she on again?
She was on Top Chef. Top Chef, yeah. So that's really good. I watched Nomadland last night.
Incredible.
So good.
What an amazing movie.
Maybe that's what I'll do tonight.
Yes.
It's good. It's on Hulu. It's not even 2 hours.
Incredible.
Frances McDormand.
Chloe Zhao, the director.
Can do Nomadland.
Amazing. So she has another movie called The Rider. If you like Nomadland, I would definitely check that out as well.
The Rider? Yeah.
And it takes place in, I think, North Dakota or South Dakota. But Nomadland was in North Dakota. Or South Dakota.
Yeah.
She's at Wall Drug and...
Yeah, and she's like a Badlands, like, park host for a while. Yeah, no, that was so good. And it's just like, there are barely any, like, capital A actors in it. It's all like people
non-actors
that actually do this.
Yep.
And yeah, it's so... So it's almost like documentary, because you could tell they're not actors, but they have a storyline.
So
but like,
good.
It's very, very cool. Very cool story.
I love a project like that where you just like, it's almost like a found art piece.
Yeah.
Where you take the resources you have and sort of mold it into the story you want. That's super cool.
Yeah. And I'm also still hooked on American Utopia. I watched it again. It's good if you just like want to be in a live audience in a theater again. Uh-huh. That I watched Oh Hello again this weekend because I've watched Oh Hello like probably 70 times and never gets old. We were watching it and it's like every line that came out of their mouth is something me and Jeremiah say to each other every single day. And it's like, okay, I quote this too much.
It's too much.
So good.
I love it.
Yeah.
I really admire that you are a person that like picks a favorite and then sticks with that favorite.
Like ride
you
or die.
Like you have like your favorite shows, your favorite TV, your favorite I don't even order the same ice cream at Cold Stone every time I go. I just like the next option.
Yeah. Sometimes I have like two or three favorites of something, but usually, I have like the same order at every restaurant forever. And I mean,
you know what you want.
I know what I want. I'm very pleased about my choices. I started dating a guy at 13, and now we've been together for 12 years.
Yeah.
So
what else do you need?
Yep, that's it.
She knows what she wants, everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
She knows what she wants.
She's a lady who knows her mind. Love that. I still don't know my mind very well.
Well, what are you consuming?
Well, I last night decided after a long weeks of baby shower planning, which was delightful, I just needed some old friends. So I sat on my couch with a bowl of pasta salad and restarted Schitt's Creek again last night.
Gotta love that.
For the fourth time.
Yeah.
Speaking of, Diana, you just rewatch all your favorite things. Schitt's Creek again. But that's the only... Schitt's Creek and the Harry Potter book series are the only thing I've ever gone back and repeated.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Before it left Netflix, I probably watched The Office 40 or 50 times.
That's amazing.
And now, because it's not, I found there's a podcast called The Office ASMR, but it's just a guy quietly like recapping every episode. So now I fall asleep to this Office podcast.
So cool.
That is insane.
Do you listen to the Jenna Fischer podcast?
You know what? I actually don't like their rapport together. I think it's very fake. I don't know. I the facts are interesting. So if I want to go there, I'll do it. But it's just I don't know. They seem weird. I don't like it when it's I watched the Home Edit Netflix series last week.
What's that?
It's this two women, and they have this business called The Home Edit, and basically they just go to celebrities / normal people's closets and they organize everything by rainbow color. People are like,
they sound like
you changed my life.
Terrorists.
Yeah, it was
color by color?
Yes, everything is rainbow organized.
Get out.
Yeah.
I will.
And they just
watch.
Have these.
That's
like,
why Netflix hasn't told me about that, because I would say get off my.
And they had like these like
get
really
my timeline.
Like acrylic containers that are sold only at the Container Store, and they like bring in all these Container Store bags and put everything into it, and then people are like crying like they gave them money or something. And anyway, I watched that, but those two women, like, there's one that's always mean to the other one, and it's like, haha, female friendship. But it's like, I hate this. Why is one of them so much meaner to the other? So I almost get that from the Office Ladies podcast. I mean,
I started it, and they were very, like, nice and complimentary to each other.
I don't know.
Did they, like, turn a corner?
It just feels weird.
Mean?
It just feels like they make fun of each other for things just to have content on the podcast, and it's like, I don't know. Rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, don't care for that.
Yeah. I don't know. Not to hate on it. I'm sure lots of people like it, but...
Yeah. I've never listened. I knew they had it.
So. I started listening to another podcast. I haven't finished it yet, but it's called Chameleon, the Hollywood Con Queen. And it's like this person who like makes fake job offers and sends people to Indonesia on like a... on like a movie set contract, but then they just drive them around and there's no movie set, and then the people go back. But I haven't quite gotten to the podcast of like part of it why she's doing this, because they're not sending her money, so it might be like a drug trafficking thing. Like they stick drugs in these people's luggage and then they go back to the States. So that's a cool podcast. Yeah, I've sort of fallen out of true crime where people die, because that seems like pretty heavy right now. But people getting scammed is okay, because at least they're alive. Yeah, I can get into that part of it.
Love a scam.
Yeah.
Love a scam. This show is
pyramid
almost
scheme.
Like a scam.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is kind of. Like, especially once, like, the family gets involved.
Yes. It's great.
Yeah. So I restarted Schitt's Creek. What else am I? I have never watched Buffy. So I started Buffy.
Oh my God, I love Buffy. It's so great.
I know. I started Buffy on Amazon. So I've been watching Buffy. And I'm also rewatching, because I only watched Doctor Who. I only watched Eccleston and Tennant. And I love Tennant so much when Matt Smith started, I was like, no. So now I restarted so that I remember everything, and I'm going to get through it. Because I like Matt Smith. I loved Tennant so much. I was also not ready when he transitioned.
Yeah.
So
Matt Smith on The Crown as Prince Philip, when his butt is in like every episode. Peak Matt Smith. So good.
Yeah. And he's so yucky in that show.
Yeah. He's very good as a doctor. He's a good doctor. You'll have fun with that.
I will also
have fun with Buffy. Have fun with Buffy.
I will.
Though Joss Whedon is a poopy person who we don't
yes.
like anymore.
Yeah, right.
He's a bad man, but the show is great.
The show is wonderful.
We love
the
show.
I think I'm halfway through season two.
Great.
We're like to Bad Angel.
Ooh.
Yeah. And like Spike and that like wispy girl who I... Yes. So
Drusilla.
Yes, Drusilla. I'm so bad at names, but you know who I'm talking about. I'm really good.
Listen, you were just like, in 2011 when we did this show, and I was like, I don't know. Yesterday, today.
Maybe it was last. Maybe it's next year. Who's to
next
say
year,
what timelines are?
Yeah.
But I'm reading all of the hard and beautiful things, or all of the. See, I'm not. Terrible at
is
names.
It like a, is it like a sexy book?
No,
you said hard and beautiful, and I imagined
yep.
a chiseled man on the cover.
Yeah,
a
no,
lot of,
it's not.
A lot
it's
of longing looks.
Sort of a commentary on like child neglect. It was a recommendation from our friend Kathy Codell King on her Facebook, and I was like, yep, I'm in for that. And then I started reading it, and it's very heavy, especially as... a person who works with children. It's very heavy, but it's about this girl named Wavana Wavy, and her childhood. So she was born in like a gypsy van to like drug addict parents, and then she was taken away and lived with her aunt and her cousins for a little bit. But because of her trauma, she has very weird habits, and she doesn't like, she goes to school and doesn't speak. And so teachers think she's naughty. And this takes place in, like, the 70s. So, like, trauma-informed anything is, like...
fiction or nonfiction?
It is fiction. Mm-hmm. And then she gets placed back with her mom and her stepdad. And then, like, one of her stepdad's lackeys, like, takes a shine to her. And it's not... I mean, he genuinely... he, like, takes care of her and he brings her to school. And he... you know, and so, like, the school thinks that's her dad. And so, but it's just heavy. It's just like this poor kid never catches a break. And right when something starts to go well, then you're like, this is going to be terrible. And it's hard to read, but it is very good.
Yeah.
It's very good. So that's kind of where I'm at in my life. Wow. Yeah.
Light and heavy.
Yeah. Like either Buffy or this terrible book I'm reading. But I have actually recently jumped on the Calm app. Train.
Ooh.
I bit the bullet.
For a bit, I think
I paid for the year.
Ooh.
I just committed. I was like, I've spent more money on stupider things. So I committed, and I really like it. I've done they have meditation courses and whatever. So I did 7 days of anxiety meditation and learned tools that I've never learned in my 33 years of life in grad school on special education. Ooh. I listen to a bedtime story every night. Matthew McConaughey has spoken me to sleep, and Harry Styles, and there's all kinds of different. Kate Winslet does one. They're really Alan Sklar is a popular reader. I'm also watching on Netflix The Last Tango in Halifax.
I've heard of it.
What is it?
Oh, it's so cute. So BBC, right? Yep, it's BBC. I love a BBC show, clearly. So it's these two people in their late 60s, early 70s, who were sort of high school sweethearts, and they were set to go on a date, and then... she stood him up, and now they've reconnected on Facebook, but she didn't stand him up. They moved, her mother got the date of their moving wrong, and she moved away and gave a note to her friend to give to this boy that's we moved away, I'm not standing you up, this is my forwarding address, and the friend never gave him the note, and then she married him! And so she has passed, and this other woman's, the original woman's husband has passed, and they reconnect, and so then it's they decide to get married right away, and it's blending their families, and their families are all kind of a mess, but I like it a lot. And there's 4 seasons of that, and I'm just starting season 4, so I like it. Yeah. I love BBC, and I love it's good. So that's the other thing I'm watching.
So, of course, Ripcord is streaming March 24th through April 3rd. You can go to our website, ggfct.com, and get your tickets for that. 18 for adults, 15 for senior student military. It's quite a deal, because you pay one ticket price, and then your whole house can watch it, because we're nice. We're not making you pay per person, just per household. So capitalize on that. It is just that week and a half. We're not doing our regular 3 weekends because it's easier for streaming to just do straight 11 days. So don't miss it. It's only 2 weekends, March 24th to April 3rd.
And this was something that popped up last time we did a streaming show.
Yeah.
Is that somebody bought a ticket and then the stream ended and they couldn't watch the show because the stream had ended. So just because you've purchased a ticket at 11:45 p.m. on Saturday, April 3rd, the stream will end. Yeah. So if you buy your ticket, watch the show. And you have unlimited time in the window between March 24th and April 3rd to watch it. Yeah. But
once you hit play on the show, you have 48 hours to finish
it. To finish it.
But you can buy your ticket now and wait till April 3rd at 7 p.m. to watch it. That's fine. You can watch it whenever.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Video auditions for Fool's Gold, the new musical, are now open. There's a Facebook event for that, and also the details are on our website, again, ggfct.com. I have the privilege of directing that show, my first directorial show. So
excited.
Very excited about that. So auditions, the submission is open until the evening of March 28th.
An original musical,
Original musical.
World premiere?
Yes.
World premiere. Original musical.
Ain't got no time for painted fences. Ain't got no time for walking dogs. Ain't hard to see. It ain't great to be some working jerk who ain't worth more than a hog. Ain't got no time for cleaning toilets. for cutting lawns. But I guarantee, if you stick with me, then just like that one day we's gonna be gone. Cause I'm gonna get rich quick. There ain't no way I'm chasing hay like dogs go after a stick. Ain't no dream and ain't no scheme, cause this old dog's got a trick. Oh, I'm gonna get rich quick.
Written by friend of the pod, Connor Walgus, who also wrote our theme song, so...
So you know he's legit.
You know it's good. If you saw Less Miserable last year, it's that, but it's family-friendly. So come, the show runs May 19th through June 5th. So if you don't want to audition, come sit outside and watch live theater. We're very excited to bring live theater back.
Very excited!
I realized that it will be the first live theater on the stage since Less Miserable.
Yep.
So...
Whoa!
What a cool thing, right? Connor.
Yeah.
Taking us out, bringing us back.
Yeah.
Bringing us back.
And I don't know the dates for these shows, but UND is presenting Songs for a New World virtually in April?
Generally, they run like the second or third week of April is usually their springtime.
And NDSU is presenting Annie virtually. I want to say that's late April into early May.
I heard it's May.
You can go to their websites for that. Check out our Friends of the Pod in those shows as well. If you have theater going on, or if you want to talk to us about something, get at our social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram, and Gmail also. We're TheaterForksPod on all of that. Thank you so much, Chris, and
thank you.
And your lovely puppies for being
here with us today.
Yeah, we are so we're so happy to have you on the pod.
Yeah.
We're so happy to have you back in the fire hall.
I'm back.
Oh, she's missed you.
And... who knows?
And, yeah.
Who knows what's next?
What's next?
Who knows?
But hopefully this won't be the last of either of these things.
Right. Yes.
So, thanks for listening, Forks. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye. Bye.
Theater Forks is hosted and produced by Amy Driscoll and Diana Shabai Booker. Our theme song is composed by Connor Walgus. Visit us at facebook.com/theaterforkspod, on Instagram @theaterforkspod, or email us at theaterforkspod@gmail.com.